2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Hallelujah. I posted this on Facebook a few weeks ago. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." And the title of my message is, "Are you a soldier or a civilian? Are you a soldier or a civilian? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, so that he may please him who hath called us to be soldiers." If you could bow your heads one more time. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Anoint, oh God, my voice, Lord God, that the words that I speak may be yours, that they will touch, that they will uplift, that they will encourage, that they will bless, that they will revive. We thank you in Jesus' name. Turn to someone and ask them, "Are you a soldier or a civilian? Are you a soldier or are you a civilian?" You may be seated in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Are you a soldier or are you a civilian? You know, that's a very important question, because it makes a whole big difference on your attitude. It makes a whole big difference on your attitude. If you're a civilian, you expect certain things, but if you're a soldier, you expect some other things. So it makes a big difference on your attitude whether you understand that you're a soldier or a civilian. You see, when someone is a soldier, they go down to the sign of the recruiting center and you enlist, and they make you fill out all these forms. And one of the forms they tell you is you can't come and speak against the government if you get shot at. You know why? Because you're going to be in a war. You're going to be a soldier. You can't make any claims against the government because you are going into the army. You're going to be picking up weapons. You're going to be putting on a uniform. You're going to be fighting a battle. Many of us, I think we still have a civilian mentality. We are in a war, as I said before, but we don't expect to get shot at. We expect everything to be just so easy. See, if you're a civilian, you don't expect to get shot at. You don't expect things to happen because you're not expecting to be in a battle. But the scripture said, "No man that warreth," that means signs up, gets into the army, "entangleth himself." You don't get knotted up in stuff that's going to hold you down, that's going to tie you down, that's going to prevent you fighting. Because if that's the case, you're going to get shot at and you won't be able to defend yourself. You see, you need to ask yourself, are you a soldier or are you a civilian? Because that will determine your attitude. That will determine what your expectation is. See, if I'm in a battle, I know I'm going to be shot at. I'm taking cover. I'm not walking around like there's nothing wrong in the world. But some of us, when things come into our life, we're so surprised because we have the wrong attitude. We've been entangled up with the affairs of this life. We all get into all kinds of stuff that takes away our mind from serving God, from thinking about God, from worshiping. We come in here and we just want someone to get us going. We want the music to get us going. We don't want to lift our hands. We don't want to open our mouth. You want a show. Well, there's no show today. You need to ask, are you a soldier or are you a civilian? See, when you sign up and they take you down to the boot camp, the first thing they do is you have to make a confession. They line you up in a line and you have to take an oath. You have to take a pledge. Those of you who have been baptized in Jesus' name, in that tank, the first thing you have to do is make a confession of faith. You got to say, "I understand what I'm getting into. I'm signing up to be in the Lord's army. I understand I might get shot at. I know that this is not going to be a civilian life, but this is going to be a war. Someone's going to attack me. I'm going to get shot at. I'm going to get hit at." Because the Bible says, "Don't think it strange the fiery trials that shall come into your life." Because you have to find out, are you a soldier or are you a civilian? See, a civilian only has maybe a handgun and maybe not even that. But if you're a soldier, you got your AR-15, you got your rifle, you got your rocket-propelled grenade launcher, you've got your grenade thrower, you've got a whole mess of weapons, and you've got your, you know what the world says, they're packing heat. But if you're a civilian, you're just walking around like you're going to the fair. I'm asking you today, are you taking your Christian warfare seriously? The scripture said, don't be entangled. Don't get knotted up. Don't get tied down so you can't fight. See, that's what happened to Samson. He got to start to take the warfare that it wasn't serious. And he got tied down. And he got knotted up. Luckily, he hadn't given away his secret. But eventually, if you keep playing around with the world, if you keep letting it entangle you, you won't be much of a soldier. You see, when they in the army, every now and then, and in the Air Force, they do drills. And they have a surprise drill. And they time you, and they say, how long did it take you to get ready? At any moment now, all over America, there are squadrons of airplanes ready that are on what they call 5-minute notice. That means those pilots, they got their uniform on, and they're sitting in their ready seat, ready to be called on at a moment's notice. So that when the alarm comes, they're ready to get into that airplane and take off. They're not tied down. They're not encumbered. But most of us, we would take a week just to get ready. We would take a week to get to the place where God can use us. Because we are entangled. We're tied down. We don't give God any time except on Sunday mornings. Maybe that's the first time we've opened our Bible. That's the first time we've really prayed. Amen. It's getting quiet in here. Are you a soldier or are you a civilian? If you are a soldier, I want to see your weapon. Anyone got their weapon here today? Anyone got their weapon today? Hold it up if you got your weapon. If you got your weapon. See, are you a soldier or are you civilian? See, the word of God. Amen. Bible says, above all else, taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. See, that tells me right away if you're a soldier or a civilian. Now, I know some of us have got it on our smartphone. It's not really quite the same as when you could hold up your Bible. When you could hold up that Bible and say, this is the word of God. Amen? Are you a soldier today or are you just dialing it in? Are you just walking it in? Do you have the uniform on? Look, let me take it a little bit further. 2 Timothy 2:3, the verse before that verse, he says, thou therefore endure. What does the word endure mean? It means you gotta put up and take a stand and understand that you're gonna be attacked. It says, thou therefore endure hardness. Now, soldiers got to live quite a hard life. They may be in the trenches. It's not comfortable. It's not sleeping in a nice comfort sleep bed where it's adjustable. You're in a trench. You may be eating out of meals ready to eat. They're not the best tasting stuff. They've been there for years. You cut them up and you heat them up. That's enduring hardness. Now, if you're a real soldier, you're going through some things right now. You see, you got your weapon, you got your sword, and you are ready to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why think it strange, the fiery trials that shall come upon you? Anyone going through some trials right now? You going through some trials, some things right now? Amen. That's what a soldier has to endure. They're on the battlefield. They're not back in town sleeping in a bed. Are you a soldier or are you a civilian? You need to ask yourself the question because there's some tests to tell whether you're a soldier. First of all, as I said, do you have your sword? The other thing is you may have your sword, but you can't use it. You don't know how to use that word. Can you think of a word right now to lay on the devil? Can you say like Jesus, it is written? Do you have a scripture, a promise that you can just take and put on that old devil when he comes? Are you going through some stuff? Have you got a promise that you can pull out and whip old Slewfoot? Amen. Do you have your shield of faith that you are able to withstand the fiery darts that the enemy will try and throw against you? 2 Timothy 2:3 says, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. You know, what they do in the drills when you first go in is they start to get you used to being able to march. And they do a 5-mile march. And they put the 30-pound kit on your back, and you still have to do the march. And they time you. You have to meet certain timing requirements. That's right. Thank you. Otherwise, they send you home. In that 6 month period at boot camp, you got to meet certain requirements, else you wash out. Amen. Are you a soldier or are you a civilian? Are you in this fight or are you just folding your arms and expecting God to do everything for you? 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." You see, this kind of warfare is not something you can take up a rock or a stick or a gun with. The weapons that God has given us, the Bible says, are not carnal. They're not earthly, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You got some strongholds you're fighting, some things you're trying to get through, some walls the devil has put around you. You can't use a gun on that. But the Bible tells us that the weapons God has given us are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Shall I tell you, I've told this church so many times, God only gave me one word one time, and that was come. And I've been walking on that word. If he says come, you can get out of that boat and walk on water. There's a storm going on, but Peter got out the boat, and as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was walking on one word. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hallelujah. I'm telling you today, the question is, what's your attitude? Do you think you're in a war, or are you just dialing it in? Are you a soldier, or are you a civilian? Do you have your weapons ready to go? Do you know some promises you can pull out of that word to lay on Satan? I'll tell you one, I shall never leave you nor forsake you. You may be feeling all alone and that the Lord has left you, but he has promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You need to be able to get that word and lay it on the devil when he comes and say, listen, nothing's going right. Look what's happened now. Look what so-and-so has done. Look at this relationship that's broken up. See, God must have turned you over. But he promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Are you a soldier or are you civilian? Because a soldier can pull apart that rifle and put it back together. They test them on that. He can break it down and they time you to put all the parts, the barrel, the magazine. You have to be able to do that. Do you have a scripture right now that you could lay on the devil? Amen. The promises of God are yea and amen in him. You need to have one of these weapons ready to be able to fight if you're a soldier. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Here's some weapons. Well, we know the word of God, but here's another weapon, prayer of faith. The Bible said the prayer of faith. You see, faith is actually a weapon. You can still do some damage with that shield. You take that shield of faith and you hit Satan. You take it and you hit him over his head when he comes to distress you and to take you down. Of course, there's also that helmet. You know, that's the most important thing is in a warfare, you got better have that helmet on because your head is the most important part. If they take out your head, it doesn't matter about the rest of your body. But you can still fight with a leg wound. You can still fight with an arm wound, but you better have that helmet on. Now, I'm going to give you a new definition. It says having the helmet of salvation. Should I tell you what I think that is? I think that helmet of salvation is really God's grace. Let me prove it to you. Let me prove it to you. I really believe that that helmet of salvation is God's grace. You see, in 2 Timothy 2:1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Paul was telling Timothy, be strong in the grace. Now, when you think about it, how can you be strong in God's grace since grace is something unmerited favor? Yet Paul here is telling him, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What he is saying is you have to have that faith to believe that God has got your back. Amen. As they came out of Egypt, there was a cloud behind them. Amen. And there was a pillar of fire in front of them. They were surrounded. In Psalms 23, David says, surely goodness and mercy shall do what? See, somebody's got your back. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You see, the helmet of salvation is really God's grace. It's absolutely trusting in faith that he has got this thing sewed up for you if you will believe. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. You know, as soon as we leave that door, all the stuff that you got to deal with this week will start coming back to you. Okay, I got to pay the electric bill. I got the rent due. The car payment is due. You see, all those things will not matter, even a hill of beans. They can all go. Amen. You can lose them just like that. Satan took everything that belonged to Job, but he couldn't take his soul. Because that don't belong to him. Bible says to set our affections. Don't get entangled with the things that are not really worth anything. Amen. When we had our house fire, when everything was done and the house was all burnt up, we left that place with just the clothes on our back. But you know, we left with our lives. Amen. What is more important? Jesus said, you know, the clothing, all these things. Solomon in all his glory was not covered like even a simple flower. You can't make yourself grow taller by thinking about it. Don't worry about these things. He said the very hairs on your head are numbered. Don't get entangled where all you're worrying about is the needs. Yes, we're in this flesh. And yes, sometimes we're gonna get a little bit shaky. But the Bible says set your affection. He says all these things will be provided. God will somehow get you through. All of you people in here are over 2 years old. Somebody fed you when you couldn't. Somebody changed your diaper for you when you couldn't. Somebody put some milk in your mouth when you knew nothing about it. How did that happen? And yet, as soon as we get a little bit older, we start to worry, how are we going to get fed? Set your affections on things above, not on the earth. See, a civilian is not thinking about the battle. A civilian is not thinking they're in a war. A civilian is thinking, oh, I'm going to the party. A civilian is not worried about a fight. A civilian is not expecting attack. But I'm telling you, if you're a soldier, a good soldier, you're expecting the devil to try and attack you. Therefore, you're not going to be surprised. You ever discovered a plot and just had to shake your head? You mean they really thought they were going to get me like that? Am I the only one that's happened to where, you know, you discovered a conspiracy, a little plot that was trying to get you, and you just have to shake your head and say, mm-mm-mm. I'm not falling for that trap. See, that's what the devil does every day. He's coming to you and he's got a little plot going. But if you can see, the Bible says we're not to be taken unawares by the devil's devices. I expect this week somebody will be calling me to try and upset my spirit. I expect it. So when it happens, I'm just going to try and smile. Now, I may not. I'm flesh too, but I'm encouraging us. Don't be surprised. Think it not strange. Are you a civilian or are you a soldier? See, our lifestyle shouldn't be dependent about the things that are down here. Our lifestyle, the Bible calls it our conversation. Philippians 3:20, it says, for our conversation means our lifestyle is in heaven. What are you thinking about when you leave here, when you get up tomorrow morning? Try and think about the goodness of God. Try and think about, God, you're going to take me through this week. Somehow you're going to help me fight my battles. I'm not strong enough, but you're going to deliver me. Yes, Satan kicked me down the stairs last week, but I'm up on my feet. I'm ready to fight again. You see, as long as you stay down there, you lose. But you got to beat the count. You know what beating the count is? You know, getting to 10. You get up before the devil says 10. You get up and say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. You know, the doctor, they come and they shine that light in your eyes. Is he conscious? Say, absolutely. With Jesus' help, I'm ready to go another round with you, Satan. Because I'm not a civilian. I'm a soldier. I expect there's a fight. But a lot of us sometimes, tomorrow morning, things will happen. Oh, Lord God, look what happened to me. Just remember, think it not strange. Amen. For our conversation is in heaven. That word conversation, all it means our lifestyle, our living is in heaven. I used to say the stock market could crash and I wouldn't lose anything. Well, it's not quite true now because the company put some money in there for me. Before I started working too, the whole stock market could crash. I had nothing in there. It wasn't going to hurt me. I can't quite say that now, but still, I'm not depending on that. I'm not depending on that. That's just paper. Do you know that paper burns? paper burns. You could have a $100 bill and it could turn to ashes. Paper burns. We are supposed to be soldiers in God's army. We're not civilians. That means you better have on your proper uniform. This is what a very famous theologian said. He says, the mind of a Christian ought not to be filled with thoughts of earthly things or find satisfaction in them, for we ought to be living as if we might have to leave this world at any moment. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. You go to the cemetery, you go to Graceland, and you'll find small graves and big graves. I preached a message a few weeks ago about numbering your days. And I said mine was about 21,000 and something. And the Bible tells us we have what? 70. And if by reason of strength, we have 80. But you see, our days are not promised to us. What is promised to us is that if we endure to the end, the same shall be saved. See, we win the battle, but some people become casualties along the way because they didn't have the whole armor on. They didn't have the whole armor on. If you don't have the helmet on and the whole armor on, if you're thinking you're a civilian, then you're going to get shot at and you're going to get wounded. And there are many people who get wounded. They get hurt sometimes even in church. And they say, I'm never coming back. See, because they don't understand that you can get hurt, you can get shot at even in church. But if you have the whole armor of God, the Bible says that love covers a multitude. See, the love is the bandage for when you get wounded. See, they call the medic and they take out all of the salve. Well, love, God's word is the balm for when you get wounded. You don't have to stay sick as a soldier. God's love, if you will let the word wash you and clean up that wound, God will pour more love into that wound. He'll pour his word into that wound. And if you will believe, you can be healed. Hallelujah. You can be delivered. Because you are not supposed to be a civilian. You're supposed to be a soldier. See, Jesus, before he left in the garden, he prayed that we should be in this world, but not of this world. In John 17:4, he says, I have given them thy word. See, in Brazil, in the jungle, there's a vine that grows. And the way it entangles things that are much bigger than it, it grows along the ground until it gets to a tree. When it finds a tree, it starts to shoot up and starts to encircle that thing. And over a number of years, that little vine will kill the tree. The little things that creep along the ground in your life, if you will let them encircle you, they will kill you. The Bible says that a soldier does not let himself get entangled. See, we should be passing through this world, not camping and putting down roots in the things that are worldly. Do you understand that Abraham was a very rich man? But you know he never built a house? Do you know that? The Bible said he sought for a city whose foundations were not made with hands, whose builder was God. He had the ability to put down roots, but he decided, I don't want to get entangled with this mess. If I start building a house, I might start fraternizing with all these idol worshipers. They might invite me over to their party. I might start to lose out with God. Abraham lived in tents his whole life. He decided, I don't want to get entangled. In the same way, that's how our attitude is. We should not put down roots into this world, but we should be only camping here. When people sometimes ask me where I'm from, I say, I'm a stateless person. This is not my home. Bible says, if in this life alone I had hope, I would be of men, all men most miserable. If this was all there was, I would be very miserable. But I have a hope. I have something better than my company 401k plan. See, they only do matching funds. They match up to 6%. But you see, tell you what they can't match. They can't match eternal life. They can't match God's investment. You know, when you've been a soldier in the U.S. Army, when you get out, they got all kinds of benefits for you. You can get an FHA loan with zero deposit. You can get all kinds of special deals. Because you've been a good soldier. You've been honorably discharged. The Bible says that if we will endure to the end, Paul, at his last dying, he said, there's now laid up for me a crown of life. Hallelujah. We have to know that we are a soldier and not a civilian. Hebrews 11:9 says, by faith, speaking about Abraham, he sojourned. That means he camped. He wasn't putting down roots because he knew he was a soldier. He sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. He understood that he didn't want to get entangled up with the mess that was in the Canaanites, who were idol worshippers. So though he could have built himself a mansion, he camped. He lived in tents his whole life. Can you imagine his wife? I can imagine Sarah saying, but we've been here 20 years now. When are we going to get a house? He said, listen, I'm looking for a city. My hope is up there. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:9, he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, that is tents, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Do you have a promise from God? Are you heirs and joint heirs? Because if so, don't you do anything but camp. We're just passing through. Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, because I'm going to prepare you something permanent. I'm waiting as a soldier for my good uniform, my dress uniform. I've got on my fatigues right now because this is battle time. But there's coming a parade where you get to put on the dress uniform, when you get God's glory, when he gives you the medals. The Bible says, for we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ for everyone to receive of the deeds that he has done in his body. Now, that's not a judgment of condemnation, but that's a medal ceremony. Some of us may get some purple hearts. Some of us may get some honorable mentions, some battle badges. Some of us may even get the Medal of Honor. Are you willing to sacrifice your life for Christ? Look what this for. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker. He refused to build himself a house because he said, I don't want to get entangled. See, if you're a soldier, you won't get entangled because you're in a mission. You can't be fooling around with stupid stuff. You're on a mission. If you start fooling around, you may miss your mission. Now, you know, you ladies know something called a detangler, right? Detangler. I've seen it. You spray it, right? I'm going to give you some detanglers. If you've been knotted up, if you've been entangled, I'm going to give you some detangler today. I think some of us need some detanglers. You know, we don't want to break the hair. We just want to detangle it. Amen. Shall I tell you what the detangler is? The Word of God. It says in Hebrews 4:12, it says, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. You need to cut away those things that are entangling you. And you do it with the Word of God. That is the detangler that will help you to get back on the battlefield. See, the difference between a soldier who is on a mission, he's not tied down. He can come and go. You can tell if you're a civilian, if you are so tied down, you can't even pray. You can't even fast. You can't even worship. That tells me you need a detangler. You better go down to the beauty shop, Rehoboth, buy you some Word of God, and start spraying it. Because if you can't pray, if you can't worship, if you're so burdened, you need a detangler. If you could stand with me. Here's what somebody famous said. If you find yourself loving any pleasure better than your prayers, any book better than the Bible, any house better than the house of God, any table better than the Lord's table, any person better than Christ, any indulgence better than the hope of heaven, you better get a detangler. You're tied down. You're tied down. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. 1 John 2:15. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now you may not like that, but that's what the Word says. First thing that Jesus said to Peter when he found him fishing, Peter, do you love me more than this? You love these more than me? Peter had gone back to fishing. Jesus came and had to ask him, not one time, not two times, three times. Love is an action. Do you know that? You say you love me, well then do something about it. If I was to say in here who loves God, probably everybody would put their hand up. Well, what are you doing about it? Peter, you've got entangled back in your fishing business. Didn't I call you from that 3.5 years ago? And you said, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do everything you want. And now as soon as I'm dead and gone, you went back to doing your fishing. Peter, do you love me or do you love these things? Peter said, you know I love you, Lord. Well, there's something for you to do. If you say you love him, then there's something for you to do. Peter said, I love you, Lord. We all will say, I love you. Anyone in here won't say they love God? Well, then, are you a civilian or are you a soldier? Because a soldier is under orders. A soldier is under orders. Paul says, called himself a servant. I, Paul, a servant. In other words, a slave. Now, a slave doesn't do what he wants to do. Neither a soldier. When the captain says, all he can do is salute. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Oh, I love you, Lord. Well, are you a soldier or are you a civilian? Have you got the uniform on? Have you signed up and made a confession of faith? Have you volunteered for the dangerous missions? Are you willing to go into the battle? There is a reward. There is a reward. Jesus said, nobody has left father, mother, houses, and all these other things for the kingdoms, for my name's sake, that he shall not receive in this life and to come eternal life. So all of you who say you love God, then the question is, what are you doing about it? Because he didn't just ask Peter, do you love me? When Peter said yes, he said, then okay. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Loving God is all very well, but the proof of love is in the doing. We heard about that this morning with my brother, right? Went and cleaned the bathroom, went and cleaned the kitchen, Now that's love. Love is doing for others what you wouldn't even do for yourself. That's true love. For God so loved that he gave. I'm closing this service. But my question is, are you a soldier or are you a civilian? Because if you're a soldier, you're under orders. Your life is not your own. You don't go where you want to. You do what the captain of the Lord's host says. You take losses. You may get wounded. May lose a little blood. Sleep in uncomfortable places. But the victory is promised. The victory is promised. I open these altars. And if you can't answer the question, are you a soldier or are you a civilian? This is your opportunity to sign up. Because this is one army that's not going to lose the war. Not going to lose the war. You might as well be on the winning side. Because I looked at the back of the book. And in Revelation 12 it says there was war in heaven. And the devil and his angels fought. And Michael and his angels fought. But it says he didn't prevail. And he was thrown out. Thrown out. And finally, at the end of the whole matter, the Bible says he's going to be chained. He's going to be taken prisoner. Taken prisoner and locked up. I want to be on the winning side. I want to be a good soldier. Not just a soldier, a good soldier. Able to endure hardness. Because I know at the end of the battle, there's going to be a medal ceremony. Bible says, for we must all appear at the judgment seat of Christ. When he calls my name, I want to be able to go up there and say, Lord, I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. I did not run away from the battle. I kept the faith. I want to get my medal. I want to get my medal. Paul says, therefore, there is laid up for me now a crown of life. It's better than a medal. We get a crown of life. And he goes on to say, but not for me alone. I'm closing this service, but I want you to ask yourself today, tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, am I a soldier or am I a civilian? Or am I just AWOL? Have I run away from the fight? Have I given up? Have I laid down my weapon and given up? I don't want to be AWOL. I want to get my medal. If you could bow your heads with me as we pray for those at the altar and pray in your seat, in your pew right now, that you will pick up your weapon, that you will be a good soldier. Lord, we just thank you for your word today, your anointing. Father, we ask you right now to move, even as we close this service. Hallelujah, that we will lift up the weapon. We will lift up your standard, that we will be a good soldier. Father, we ask you right now for an anointing, a breakthrough, that when we go out tomorrow to face the devil, to face the